Hi, you're listening to a side quest of video games podcast by people too busy to play video games. I'm Dave Rupert.
I'm Jan Huang.
And I'm Zach Meyer.
Oh boy, oh boy, first show 2K19. We are back as promised. We did not do a false promise. But before we get into our weekly stand-up, we started talking before the show, and I cut Zach off because Zach, welcome to the show again, but you have some hot tips on bootleg hardware, so walk us through this again.
You make me sound like I'm like waiting in an alleyway with a some sort of long trench coat and a bunch of pockets filled with bad Rolexes or something.
Yes. Hey, kids.
You like video games and controllers?
It'd be cool if you could play Fortnite.
Basically what I was getting at before was about the cost of controllers for stuff. So I don't know about y'all, but going dongle free or going port free and having no wires is like starting to become a thing I'm obsessed with. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Do you guys all play with wireless still?
I have a lot of wireless. I go back and forth, right? Like I wire and then I hate the cords and then I go wireless. Mm-hmm. And then I hate the charging. And then so I go wired and then I go wireless. Mm-hmm. That's my situation.
I'm a fan of being wired in, but I've been playing controller based games again, like on my PC, and I don't like the way the Xbox controller been feeling lately. So I don't know. I need to switch it up.
You say you don't like the way the Xbox controller feels. Well, Jan, have I got some news for you? I don't know if you guys know about this fantastic company called 8-Bit Do.
Uh huh. Yeah, they make retro-y controllers, right?
They do make a bunch of retro-y controllers, and they were most famous originally for making this a series of Bluetooth controllers that essentially would sync with anything, so Switch, PC, Mac, whatever, Android, iPhone. They recently launched a new line of their, or sort of a redub of their SNES Pro, which was kind of their like SNES-shaped controller, except it has four top bumper buttons. Mm-hmm. Just like any standard controller does now. It has two analog sticks that have clickable buttons. It's still completely wireless, so it's Bluetooth. And they've added tilt axis control and vibration, and well, I think maybe the old ones had vibration also. But now all of the new stuff syncs with your Switch also. Wow. Without any extra attachments. Like I have one of their dongles that lets you use your PlayStation controller or whatever and sync it with your Switch. Mm-hmm. But this completely eliminates that. It's like it's everything, and it comes in a hot OG Game Boy flavor, so you got those sexy purple maroon buttons, the gray kind of almost pastel purple plastics, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I post a link. So I'm feeling like I've got a bunch of wired controllers that are passable, but I keep running into this thing where I primarily game in the living room, and I want to be able to sit on the couch with my friends, my wife. I'm going to say friends, I mean my wife and my dog.
My friends. The one that's contractually obligated in the the dog. Yeah,
She signed up for it. So I'm like really thinking about just taking the Marie Kondo approach, throwing out all of my wired controllers that don't bring me joy. Mm-hmm. And buying wireless.
This looks awesome. And what's this baby set me back?
Oh, price point on that one with the analog sticks now is $50.
Really?
That's not bad. So that's the one that looks like the SNES version, right?
Yeah.
And that's,
except it's got the analog sticks on it.
And that's cheaper. Mm-hmm. Than like the whatever, the regular whatever Switch Pro controller or whatever.
Switch Pro, even the Hori ones, the ones by Hori are like, they're I think they're a little over 50, but they're wired. They don't do a wireless one. And this is a one to one, all the things. You could just have it all, guys. It syncs with your, syncs with the everything.
That's pretty cool. I ordered those classic controllers. It's $80. But
The classic Joy-Cons.
Wait. Yeah, the classic Joy-Cons. It's like what Nintendo classic? Issued some like fully like NES, oh, really? Master System or whatever.
Oh, don't look through their site.
But it's $80. Doesn't have all the buttons, but it has a lot of buttons. And it has a little, I don't know, back switch you can kind of hack. But it's cool, but it's like, it was $80. It was kind of like, when I got it, it was like, oh, awesome. And then I was like, wow, I spent $80 on this. Like, oh no.
Oh my gosh.
But it's cool. I don't know. It's worth, I don't know. I think I'm going to use it because my wife loves Dr. Mario. So, So I think like, you know, getting into Dr. Mario with the classic setup is kind of crucial. So,
mm-hmm. I think it all has to do with the nostalgia factor, right? I mean, did she play Dr. Mario when she was younger?
Yeah, well, I don't know if she played Dr. Mario, but like when we got married, we played it on the Switch or the Wii, like religiously. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Zach, you knew me back then, but or were challenged by my wife in Dr. Mario, but we had some pretty intense.
No, I had not the pleasure.
We had some pretty intense family battles over. Like friends would come over and we'd do that. we'd just be like, "So you want to play Dr. Mario?" So we played a lot, and we got into that like because you can set the difficulty like a handicap on each player. So it would be like if you won 2, you had to up your handicap or something, sort of like build up and some
offset it a little bit.
Yeah, it was fun. Anyway, but nice. That's why I got them to bond with my wife, who is currently just in bed reading books. So it worked out. $80 well spent, I'd say.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. Like anything that is spouse endorsed is. That's an easy win.
While we're here on the subject of the Switch, here on the Switch podcast, what's the deal with the Wi-Fi subscription? So my son has I made him an account so he could play Minecraft, right? And then, you know, and I get into Minecraft and the skins that I have on my account because I bought the game or whatever aren't transferred to his account, so he's like, I need the skins, you know, I need the new Steves. So I made him a Nintendo account, and I had to like pay $1 to do that, like to verify I was a grown up with a credit card, and made him an underage account, which is, that's legal, don't worry, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since, we can't play two-player Minecraft because he doesn't have a Nintendo Switch Online account. And I do. And so it's like, it's this weird thing where like I got him the skins, but now we can't play together even on the same system. What? So like it only works if I start the game and he like joins my game. But if he starts the game, I can't join his game because he doesn't have an online account. It's really weird. Again, I don't know. Huh. I hate to dog the Switch, but like... online is always their like Achilles heel, and I'm a little worried it's starting to show already here.
So does it treat each like account instance on the Switch as essentially like as if there is a separate owner there?
Well, it's weird, right? Like a Switch is basically just like the default account, or you can like do your own account, like so you and your wife or partner or whoever can play Zelda or something like. Mm-hmm. And have two different campaigns. So that's like default in the Switch. But if you want them to be like official, you know, and keep track of points and leaderboards or whatever, you need to like create a Nintendo login account. But you can't do that for kids who don't have emails. So I had to create it for them. So
Okay.
And that's where all my problems started. But I think I can, for $14, I can get them online. But then I'm also like, do I want my five-year-old online? Because that sounds terrible. So
No, that doesn't sound like... You also made Minecraft very complex, because I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I was like, surely we can local co-op, and it's like, nope. So, I don't know.
That's weird.
Anyway.
But you have an online subscription, I take it.
I do.
Is that true?
Yes. Yeah, yes. I do
so
too.
So your account does. So it must consider each one an instance then.
An individual
I think
thing?
So, yeah. And there's like a family, like, I think officially he's under my family plan or whatever. There is a family plan I can upgrade to, so.
So maybe that's the tie-in. Like, if you upgrade to family, then anybody who's in the family can do all of the networked and local play.
Right.
Yeah.
And keep track of their scoring and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, Zach, I highly recommend you get it because, you know, you gotta support Nintendo.
Yeah, they seem like they're hurting for
cash. Yeah, they're the underdogs. How's Mario gonna afford his travels around the galaxy?
It's my $20 a year contribution. It's almost like when the Red Cross calls and says, "Hey, we like a donation." I'm like, "No, I gotta give my $20 to the Nintendo world."
Would you like to donate to Reggie Fils-Aimé's Ferrari fund? Yes. Okay.
As long as we get Mother 3.
Anything for Reg.
If we get Mother 3 out of it, yes, anything for him.
Yeah. Whatever he needs.
Whatever Reggie needs, Reggie gets.
That's right.
No. Well, it's worth it, Zach. You should get it because you get Nintendo games that have been made easy for you. So there you go. You get classic.
Wait, I get easier games?
Yeah, they went through and they made Metroid easy. Like, you start Metroid and you have all the power-ups. You start Zelda and you have all the power-ups.
Yes. No, I love that part.
It's great.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Zach, you start Metroid with everything. What could be bad about it? You can warp straight to Riley.
This is perfect. This is something perfect for us because we don't have time to go gather all this stuff, right? So it's like, it's almost like a cheat code built in.
That's interesting. Yeah. I don't have time to replay this all the time. I just want to feel it's like playing a greatest hits record, right? Like, I don't want to go through the progression of the original six albums that this is carved from. I just want to, like, stomp my feet to "We're Gonna Rock You" and then, you know, sing in falsetto.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all I want.
Just want the cheats. You want cheat codes. It would be better if it was like you had to enter some like glitchy Game Genie code or something like that. That would be better. Kids mm-hmm. need to learn about game genies.
Oh, yeah.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, people still think up, up, down, down is just something that we just say as adults. Mm-hmm. We're just crazy people.
It's just the babblings of the Generation Y.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is that? It's like a cheat code back then. Well, I don't know.
A cheat what? Never mind. I'm too young to understand.
Going to our next segment here. The Overwatch Minute, and got some good news. Jan, do you want to share the good news with everybody?
Yes, the good news is after over 24 months of continuous playing this
quite
amazing game from Blizzard, Dave and I finally hit plat on individual accounts.
Which is like the middle 50%.
Oh God! Anyway, I shared with Dave today a very depressing video. A streamer was talking about the tiers of each level, where there's like bronze, silver, gold, plat, and he was just talking about the difference between each tier and how terrible it is. But to me, I think after playing this game for so long, it's kind of like a nice little goal to hit. Like, hey, I finally have reached another level that I have never reached before in this game. So it felt like progress, but now I'm wondering if I peaked. Like, if this is the highest, if this is going to go.
Yeah, I don't know. I still have a goal. Like, my next goal, so 2,500 SR points is plat or whatever. And I'm kind of like, I think I could get to mid-plat, but probably not this season. probably next one, but because it's so much work to move up 100 points, like it's like that's a like a month worth of work for me. So so anyway, maybe I'll move up, but that's a yeah, but I could see myself being, I'm not trying to get to diamond. That's the next level. That's way too far for me. So I'm just
going to. That's way too far. No. Anyway. I think that's an attainable goal. Go get 2,700. I think that's doable.
Yeah. Try to get to that. So, but feels good. I feels good to hit that goal. Now I don't have to uninstall the game because I quite literally was like, if I make don't get plat by like level, whatever, 600 on this one character, I'm going to uninstall the game. So. Anyway, cool.
But you guys did it. You crossed the finish line.
We did it. We see, Zach, you set your video game goals and you accomplished them. That's what this show is all about.
It would happen eventually. I don't know if it's because of the drop off of players, but we made it.
Yeah. When your player base all switches over to Fortnite dances.
Yeah. Was there a big dropout recently?
No, I don't know. It just feels like it. To me, I don't know.
Yeah, there's been a quality assurance issue, I would say. A lot of it's just, you know, people have been playing this game for a long time, so they're all mad and salty, and you know, we're all at low levels or whatever. And then there's, you know, it was like you look on like Twitch, you know, it was like the most streamed game Overwatch was, and then now it's like the like on the second row of Twitch streams, you know what I mean, like, or third row,
yeah.
Like yeah. Behind like IRL or something, you know. And so
yeah, IRL. Oh, so Sea of Thieves is ahead of it,
yeah, you know, Sea of Thieves, like you know. And so like I think it's just like suffered to some degree from like popularity, but I, you know, that's Fortnite. It's a free game. You know what I mean? Like, how do you compete? Kids are going to play that because it's like literally free. So I don't know how you compete with free. So, but we'll see. I don't know. I think Blizzard has some tricks and heroes up their sleeve for this game at least. So they're keeping it alive
In the esport, the season 2 is about to start for Overwatch League, so hopefully they'll pick up some momentum, maybe get some new gamers.
Yep.
So,
pretty good esport. But, all right, yeah. Hey, here we go. Let's get into our weekly, or I guess semi-weekly, bi-weekly, semi-weekly, I don't know the difference, stand-up, where we ask each other, what have you been playing? What video games did you play? What video games are you going to play? And do you have any blockers? So we'll start. Jan, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I've been, truthfully, I've been having some Overwatch burnout only because it's so frustrating. But I think I've been saying that for the last 18 months. So that's nothing new. I'm trying to find the next game to like to sink my teeth into, right? So to Zach's suggestion, he said I should try out Warframe. And Warframe's actually been around for a while. It's a free-to-play game that you can get off Steam. I think it may also be on Switch, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But
it is.
But Zach described it as ninjas in space. And I thought, after hearing that, I was like, okay, I think I can live with this, or I can buy into it. And so far, I'm only a couple hours into it, but I've been having it's actually been fun. It's just fun just to go into a game, and just mindlessly destroying enemies. Like, it's PvE, but that's, I mean, it's very satisfying to know that I can just take something out. I felt like I haven't done that in a long time. So I've been reading some of the reviews and some of the feedback off online, talking about how much of a grind it is, but I don't know where that grind's at. So I'm still going through the tutorial process. Maybe that's probably what's going on. I think this is the type of game that I would like to invest in a little bit more time each week for.
Nice.
So there's that. I'm also playing a game called Ring of Elysium.
Okay.
Which I'm calling not PUBG. It is a...
that makes it sound like it's PUBG.
Yeah, it's PUBG, but it's not. But what makes this game... Okay, so again, it's another free-to-play game you can get off of Steam. But what I like about it is that it just feels different from PUBG. Like, PUBG feels like you're a Call of Duty player or a Counter-Strike player, and then you just shoot things, you pick up weapons, whatever. But this game, there's mechanics in there that I actually find enjoyable, like snowboarding. Like, what kind of game? I haven't played a game that involves snowboards as SSX. it's really fun just to like move around with your friends or your squad and snowboarding together to get to the next destination. And I know that Fortnite has like vehicles, but the fact that there's like mountain climbing mechanics and snowboarding, that it just makes it feel really different. The user base I think is pretty low, because instead of 100 players, you're only dealing with 60, and I think maybe 20 of them are bots for the time being. But it's not a very polished game, but it's playable for the time being.
All right. You really sold it. I'd like to piggyback
on that.
I know, dude. I know.
What'd you say that?
So at Jan's request, I went ahead and installed it, and I did opt for the snowboard package as my first go through. It definitely has a lot of the, like, there are some, like, the big things that I'll give it are like the environment setup is a lot different, and that there are environment hazards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So because you're on a mountain, like, you have to navigate around areas that are like too cold for you, otherwise you sustain like environmental damage, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's kind of like, there's like a few things in it that make it a little less, I don't know, that make it a little more interesting than I think PUBG.
Do you start in your undies and you're like,
no,
no,
oh,
no. Okay.
No, you do. You do start in a what I'll call like James Bond Jr. Adventure wear.
All right.
What? But they just like shower you with weapons and stuff. So I think once they figure out like how big the map should be compared to how many people there are, the game will start to pick up some speed. Because right now it feels very empty.
Right.
Oh, it feels barren. It feels barren as hell. Mm-hmm. But it was fun. Like the other, like last night, I had a session where I teamed up with somebody from. I understood. I heard the dialect, so they were Chinese, and it was just like they were communicating. I was talking English, speaking English to them, but it was very foreign to me what he was trying to tell me what to do. Everything ended in bro, so I was like, okay, he's at least trying to talk to me.
Yeah. he wants me to do something.
Yeah, so the user base, I hopefully will get bigger. That's all I'm saying about it. All
right.
But one more thing about the snowboard part, you can do tricks on it, Dave. It's not me going down a hill. I can do 360s and 720s.
Front flip.
Oh, it felt good. That's what sold me on it. All right. I know.
I played some SSX tricky in my day.
And you're carrying a gun, so that's totally different, right?
Is that, yeah. It's like someone watched the last 30 minutes of Inception and was like, you know what, I want to make a game where it's just this part.
Just this part. Or the outside level of GoldenEye, but with guns.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the damn.
So and just to finish up, because I don't want to stick around too long for it, but I'm still trying to I'm finishing up Mario Odyssey. I'm towards the end. I feel like I'm at the last level, and I think by this weekend I should be done with it.
All right. Hopefully. Okay. All right. Got a challenge. Any blockers?
No blockers. No blockers.
Mm. All right. Zach, you got anything? What games have you been playing?
Okay. I've been playing let's see, on PS4 I'm playing Yakuza Kiwami, which is the remake of the first Yakuza game, which, if nobody's ever played or heard of a Yakuza game, they're essentially beat 'em ups with a bunch of fun mini games, but I will say this, they are about as Japanese as a Japanese thing can be. It's very self-referential, has to do with Japanese gangsters and a very, in like a fake but real part of a downtown chunk of Shinjuku. And if you don't like Japanese gangster melodrama mixed with goofy sub-game shenanigans, you probably won't like it, but... if you like all that stuff, it's a real pleasure to play. Dialogue-wise, combat can be a little. The combat's a little bit finicky, just because it has the appearance of being tight, like a Dark Souls game, like having a lot of really good input response. But on higher difficulty, the bosses tend to sort of shrug off any of your interrupts or dodges. So just be warned. It's a little flaky there. And then Sunday nights I play Divinity 2 with my brother. I don't know if you guys have heard of Divinity is sort of like an extension of the Neverwinter Nights type gameplay. So it's a top down, you know, three quarters 3D fantasy adventure. You can play single to four people simultaneously. And you each inhabit one of the characters, and then as you lose real people, as you lose human players, you just pick up NPCs that fill the roles for you. And it is a lot of fun. It's the combat in it is unforgivingly difficult, but the gameplay itself is just a total blast. And it's like getting to play it's basically D&D without. But not pen and paper, but you know, just like a.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun.
You know what? Somebody was telling me about this. I think my friend Taco was talking about this. Interesting. Cool.
Yeah. So if you guys ever want to experiment, just let me know. I'm playing it on Steam.
Is the campaign long?
I don't know how long the campaign is. It's interesting because like there's a campaign and then there's also a DM mode where people can actually like build their own campaigns.
What?
And then you can just invite friends. Like literally, it's like virtual D&D.
Mm-hmm.
It's really enjoyable though. Like it allows you all the freedom to be like any spectrum of good and bad you want to be. Like the game is really elastic. It allows you to do a lot of things. I just every time I log into it and play it, it like spend any time with the world, you really can just like move this stuff over, inspect that picture, or you know, like there's just so much like exploration. Just the levels are just crafted really well, and it's just fun to play with.
Do you get stuck? I mean, or like, is it forgiving? Like, you know what I mean? Because in D&D, like, maybe you didn't inspect the painting, but you have an IRL GM who can be like, oh, as you walked out the door, you kicked a mat and found a key or something, you know, but.
It lets you decide how you want to problem solve certain things, but it kind of throws some hints at you. There's some stuff that's a little, like, I think a little, what is the word I'm looking for? Obfuscated?
Okay.
Like it, I think it has a tendency to sometimes not say how malleable it is, but it's there. Like a good example was the other night, there's two ways to get into this cave where you're supposed to help this soul or help this knight free his soul. But the place you can get into is only there's two entrances essentially. One of them, if you're a standard size character, like a regular human-sized character, says this hole is or there's a small entry, but you're too large. Mm. Like it'll tell you you're too large. Yeah. But I had a dwarf in my group, and so I switched to him. He was able to separate himself from the group, go down through the hole because he's smaller than us, and then that allowed the rest of the party to come through. So there's all these like little like things like that where they are like I'm playing a undead character, and I put my points into thievery, and so I don't need pick locks. I can use my bony finger as a pick lock. There's all sorts of like little toys like that you get to play with.
Oh, neat. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, just
how many people can play at the same time?
Four people. Yeah, four people can play simultaneously. We can play as a party, like literally as a party.
Okay.
You take your turn on your turn. You have your abilities, but like movement, all that stuff is all up to you. Like, if we're in a zone, we could all be separated, like doing stuff, and you don't have to wait for the DM to like sidebar each piece of the adventure, right? But then you can like warp back to each other and all that stuff. It's really cool.
Well, color me intrigued. Huh. Okay.
Bow show.
Cool. Anything else?
Just still making rounds on Mario Rabbids. My Steam shame for this month is Fallout New Vegas and Saints Row 4. I started playing Saints Row 4, and I now realize why it was such a big deal between them and the Rockstar series. And for my money, if you guys are just looking to like play something to, I don't know, like it's like a power fantasy, but it's very tongue-in-cheek. Saints Row 4 is absolutely fantastic.
Is this the one with the dubstep gun?
Yes, that's the one with the dubstep gun. It's peak early aughts.
Shark jumps over a motorcycle.
Yeah. Riding the fawns. Yeah.
Saints Row is pretty much GTA, outrageous GTA.
Yeah, let's say fun GTA.
Okay. GTA's gotten too real.
Less remorse. GTA 5 is... GTA.
Yeah, new GTA is... I would say that Saints Row is definitely like the fun version of GTA 3, and like everything after that, Rockstar definitely has tried to be very, or I shouldn't say after that, but like their recent stuff is much more like obviously like quote unquote gritty or real, but you know, it's interesting. Mm. It's definitely lighthearted. It's a good break from all the seriousness of everything. But what about you, Dave? Where are you at?
Well, I like that you said Steam shame, because I bought three games on Steam in the winter sale. I only spent like $12. Uh-huh. Everything's okay.
Yeah.
But I played zero of them. So I bought What Remains of Edith Finch, which is apparently pretty good. And it's only like 2 or 3 hour playthrough. So like it's like a award-winning story. So I'm going to play that. Her Story, which is like an interactive... detective game, kind of like you watch like full motion video like of a woman kind of like being interviewed by police, and you have to like piece together the crime from her testimonies, like her interrogations with the police. So very interested in that. And then just a silly game, it's been on my Steam queue forever, but it was like $2. It was Beat Cop, which we saw at PAX last year, I think.
Yes.
Which is basically, again, like another, you're a policeman and you just walk around town and talk to people. It's almost like what's the game? It's more pixely, but it's almost like a Monkey Island like that.
Oh, Monkey Island?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just like you have to like go talk to this person over here and figure out what that does, you know? So anyway, I want to, I like, it's always been in my head, like, oh, that'd be a fun game to play. So I finally, I bought them, but I have not played them, but I did buy and play Gris for the Nintendo Switch. Have you seen this one? It's a platformer, but it's like the aesthetic is like watercolor and it is beautiful. I feel like this game, you know, it asks the question, is video game art? And the answer is yes. So I feel like that's the ethos of the game. Like it's just very beautiful. And one thing that is really awesome about it is it got more beautiful and more elegant as the game went on. And I wasn't prepared for that. You know, I thought like, you know, platformer, you just run, jump and jump things, but you get like little power-ups as you go and as you solve levels and stuff like that. And the power-ups allow you to, you know, do more things, just like a standard almost Metroidvania kind of thing. But the controls of these power-ups just got better and better, you know. You think of a game like Celeste, you have like the one power-up, like your double jump or whatever, or your dash jump, which you have the whole game. But this game is just, it was just like, all you could do is jump first, and then like you could like turn yourself into a big heavy block, and then you had to kind of solve puzzles with that, and then you had to like, then you got another power up and another, and just like, it was so cool because it just got more and more beautiful as and elegant, and the controls got more fun as the game went on. Like the progression was really incredible. So it was only like 4 hours ish. So and there's maybe still stuff I haven't finished. Yeah, so consumable, which is what I'm all about. Interesting. So I sat down and played that kind of selfishly. It was like, I'm just gonna play this. So here we go.
I'm glad you mentioned the skill unlock thing, because I mean, I'd seen some stuff for the game, but my first impression on seeing the screenshots, like, yeah, it's pretty, but you know, am I just playing an interactive comic, or is there like, is there, you know, feedback, combat, something in it?
Yeah. I kind of wondered that, like, going into it, like, is this just like I push right and experience the story kind of thing? Mm-hmm. But no, it's definitely platformy. A little bit of combat, but it's a little different how it takes place here. So, but it's cool. It was just a really beautiful, fun, amazing, artistic game. And if that interests you, like, you should definitely get it. You know, if you're kind of want to. Kind of a more experiential feel with your video games. So
is it real difficult, or
no, did you find honestly, it challenging? Like, platform wise, it's probably the easiest platformer you'll ever play. I mean, I feel like my daughter, 3.5-year-old daughter, Emmy, could play it. So I feel, you know, just hit, you kind of, you know, you're just jumping, you know, but, so like pretty basic platformer, but really beautiful.
Okay.
So well done. So, and I hope they, you know, this watercolor aesthetic that it kind of has is able to kind of transfer to, like, I don't know. I hope they made a shader that other games can kind of use too. It was such a unique style. It'd be cool if more games kind of experimented with it. So, yeah, it was very cool. So, and then beyond that, I'm still stuck on Hollow Knight. haven't played it because I'm like, I don't know what to do there. And I mean, to the point where I may just abandon it. I don't know. I should finish it, but, I'm weak. And then I finished all my Labos with Otis. I forgot to say that. So I now have a closet full of cardboard, appliances, and it's great. It's everything you want, but, finished all of them, even that like robot backpack thing where you punch and like make a robot. He loves that one. So
that's sweet. Yeah,
that one's fun. Did that one, and then just been doing that. I'm looking for my next game. I'll probably play these Steam games just because I think I could get them on the couch. But there's a couple. I have a big, you know, Switch wish list that I want to go through. So it may be even I buy games on the Switch that I already own on Steam just because I want to play them handheld. You know, so. I don't mind buying games twice for like an indie developer, but like, I just want these games. I want to play these games. So, but that's it. No blockers except for, I don't have time. So there you go. So,
that's all our blockers.
Yeah.
The real blocker.
Oh, cool. Well, I think that's all we got time for, but we got some news. We are going to PAX South, this week. So we'll actually, if you're there, holler at us, but we're going to PAX South, and then we'll be back. Our next show will probably be about stuff we saw at PAX. So looking forward to that. Oh. And remind me next time, board games. I got board games, Zach.
Oh,
we'll talk board games.
Yes.
All right. We can have some table talk.
All right. Okay. A little enticement for the next show. Does anyone else have anything else you'd like to say? No? Okay, follow us on Twitter @aside_quest. Thank you for subscribing. We really appreciate it. Tell your friends. Good luck. Have fun.